Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Thursday, August 7th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows legislative candidates accepted nearly $4 million in campaign contributions during the first half of 2014, and incumbents held an 8-to-1 cash advantage over their challengers at the end of June. The six-month haul was a record for the first 6 months of an even-numbered election year, but falls well short of the nearly $7 million overall record in contributions accepted by legislative candidates and committees in the first half of 2011. The 2011 record fundraising was spurred by 9 Senate recall elections that summer. Here to talk about the fundraising report is Democracy Campaign Executive Director Mike McCabe. Mike, is there anything about the circumstances or timing that stand out regarding this $4 million in legislative fundraising in the first half of 2014?
I think the thing that's pretty amazing about it is that legislative candidates set a record for fundraising in a regular election at a time when they're competing for money with so many candidates for higher office, including the race for governor. And, you know, Scott Walker has raised over $68 million over the years running for governor and then trying to keep the office once he won it. That makes him easily the most prolific campaign fundraiser in Wisconsin history. So much money is flowing to Walker and substantial amounts to his opponent as well. And, you know, and then there are other races like a race for attorney general. That's an open seat. That's a, you know, statewide race. So there's so many races siphoning off money, not to mention races for Congress. And when you're down on the lower on the ballot, like state legislature, those races don't get as much interest. And yet you still see record fundraising by these state legislative candidates. So that's really saying something, that they've raised more than ever when they're competing for cash with these other campaigns that are siphoning off so much money.
Talk about the advantage incumbents have over their challengers. Now, overall, the report says there were 251 legislative candidates with about $5.4 million in their campaign accounts at the end of June. Can you talk about how that breaks out for incumbents and challengers and the so-called open seat candidates?
You already alluded to the fact that that current office holders have $8 for every dollar that their challengers have. So they outraise the challengers by an 8-to-1 margin, an overwhelming margin. You know, that's how incumbents keep getting reelected. They're not very popular these days. People are pretty sour on the folks who are currently in office. But when it comes campaign time, they do most of the talking. They almost have a monopoly on the campaign advertising because they have so much more money than their challengers. And so if voters only hear from the current office holders, they figure that's the only people who are running for office. And they end up getting reelected, even though people are pretty disgusted overall with their performance. That's how incumbents are protected. And, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, with redistricting being done the way it's been done, there aren't very many competitive seats. You know, most districts are either overwhelmingly Democratic or overwhelmingly Republican. They're very lopsided, and so there's not a real strong chance of taking out an incumbent, and so that makes it hard for a challenger to raise money in most of these seats. Now, open seats where an incumbent has retired or stepped aside, that's one of the places where there's a real opportunity to win a legislative seat. And you notice that some of the top fundraisers in this reporting cycle were actually people who were competing for open seats where there's no incumbent standing in the way. And so those become some of the most interesting battles and certainly the most competitive races financially.
The report breaks out legislative fundraising and campaign account balances by party as well. Talk about that. The Republicans seem to have a noticeable advantage. Why is that?
Money flows to power, and right now the Republicans are in charge of both the Senate and the Assembly. They have majorities in both houses. And so one of the simple answers to the question, why did Republican candidates raise more than Democratic candidates, is that there are more Republicans who are out there raising the money. There are simply more Republican candidates. And particularly, there are more Republican incumbents. And since incumbents they're really magnets for money, the special interests are constantly giving them money to try to influence their conduct in public office, they hold a real advantage. So it really boils down to that. The Republicans have the majority. Money flows to power. Therefore, more of the money flows to Republicans than to Democrats.
Talk about some of the top legislative fundraisers and the races they face.
Well, you look at the top fundraisers, and they are these candidates in open seats where there's not an incumbent. There's a contest. And you know, you look at the very top of the list, the number one fundraiser was Howard Markline. Now, he's a Republican candidate in the 17th Senate District over in southwestern Wisconsin. Dale Schultz held that seat for many, many years. He's retired, so there's now an open seat. And you know, in the top 10 is his Democratic opponent, Ernie Whitwer. You know, he's eighth or ninth, I think, in total fundraising. So he's one of the Democratic candidates for that 17th Senate District seat. And so there you have an open seat, and it's a district that is seen as one that could go either way. It could go to the Democrats, it could go to the Republicans. It's been held by a Republican, but actually it's a district that has voted Democratic in some statewide elections and elections for president. So that one could go either way. It's a competitive contest. Top fundraiser is the Republican candidate. In the top 10 is one of the Republican or one of the Democratic candidates. Below Markline, there's one assembly candidate on the list. That's Mike Rorcast. He's running the 55th Assembly District, which is up in the Fox Valley. That seat was held for many years by Dean Cofford, who was in Republican leadership. Cofford has stepped down and left the legislature. That opens up a seat, and Rorcast, among the candidates, is the leading fundraiser. And then finally, it's worth mentioning the third and fourth top fundraisers. That's Roger Roth and Penny Bernard Shaver. Roth is the Republican candidate in the 19th Senate District. Bernard Shaver is the Democratic candidate. They came in third and fourth in fundraising. That seat, of course, was held for many, many years, for decades, by Mike Ellis, who also was in Senate leadership, and ended up getting caught up in a situation where he was secretly recorded, videotaped, making some very controversial remarks. He ended up stepping down, deciding not to run for re-election, but retiring instead. That creates an open contest there. That also is a district, though it has been held by a Republican for decades. It's a district that is at least close enough. It hasn't been gerrymandered to the point where it's an overwhelmingly Republican district. There's at least a chance a Democrat could win that seat. So there again, you see one of the rare competitive races, one of the rare competitive districts, and it's an open seat. There's no incumbent there. That's where you're seeing money really flow in.
Talk about some of the legislative candidates who had the most cash in the bank at the end of June and the races they faced. I do understand that the top 10 fundraisers table and the top 10 most cash in the bank tables may have a lot of similarities.
They do have a lot of similarities. You do see Howard Markline at the top of the list. He's got the biggest war chest of all. You do see Penny Bernard Shaver up there in the top four or five. But actually, the people who show up near the top of the list who aren't among the top fundraisers for this period were the two Republican leaders. The Senate Republican leader, Scott Fitzgerald, is second in cash balance, and the Assembly Speaker, Republican Robin Voss, is third on the list. And there again, it shows that money flows to power. They're sitting on a lot of money because they're in positions of top leadership in the Senate and Assembly. Special interests are trying to influence their decisions. A lot of money has flowed to them. They're sitting on a lot of cash. In those cases, these are legislators who don't face challenges. They don't face real threats to their positions, but they lot of money, they can also dole some of that money out to other candidates, and that makes those candidates loyal to those leaders. So it's sitting on all that money is a way for those leaders to cement their position of power within the legislature. And it should be noted, those leaders also control the partisan legislative campaign committees. There's four of these committees, one for each party in both the Senate and the Assembly. Those leaders are raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for those committees. Those committees then dole out money to the favored candidates in their parties. That's another way that leaders cement their grip on power.
Okay. Well, thanks for your comments, Mike. For more information about legislative fundraising during the first 6 months of 2014, check out the August 7th report on the Democracy Campaign website. The report includes a complete table of legislative candidates that shows fundraising information about candidates in your area. While you're on the website, you can also view a wealth of information about the 2014 fall election candidates for the legislature and the state's five constitutional offices. On the homepage, go to the Follow the Money tab and click on Candidate Profiles in the drop box, then click on Campaign 2014. That will take you to fundraising and donor information about the 2014 candidates, as well as their statements of economic interest, which contain information about their sources of income and debt. That section also contains links to the Democracy Campaign's hijacking series, which provides profiles and information about electioneering activities by special interest groups involved in the election so far. Thanks for listening.